Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of God. Now, God has given His truth, His Word, and it's really a wonderful book. And it is something that we all need. A lot of people want to know, how do I worship God? How do I know I can get through to Him? What do I do? Well, we'll explain it in this one here. How do you worship God? Let's understand the creation of man is a special creation of God for a special purpose. And you need our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. And that will explain to you from the Word of God, the truth of God, why were you born? And we were created in such a way that we need God. We need His Spirit. We need His Word. We need His truth. And He made us to worship and to worship Him as Creator. Now, last time we left off in Acts 17, so let's go there and let's finish several more verses in Acts 17, and then we will get into how do you worship God. We left off with verse 26, so let's just repeat that and read some other verses here. And He made us of one blood, all the nations of men, to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined beforehand their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. Verse 27, here's why. In order that we might seek the Lord, if perhaps we might feel after Him and might find Him, though truly He is not far from each one of us. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Now, how can God do that? With His Spirit, with His power, with everything that He has created. Okay. Now, notice verse 28, and this is why we need to worship Him. Now, God has given us free moral agency, IFMA, independent free moral agency. We have to choose. God doesn't want robots. God doesn't want yes people. God wants those who love Him and serve Him and worship Him because they choose to do so. And then in doing that, we'll see, that helps them to grow in the love of God and to love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and being. All right? Now, verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Isn't that something? Every human being on earth lives and moves and has their being because of God, because of His special creation. And look what He's done to give us the earth with so many wonderful things in them. It is a tremendous and awesome thing that we really need to contemplate and understand, and this also adds to our worship of God. Paul continues, as some of the poets among you also have said, for we are His offspring. That's true. We're made in the image and likeness of God. No other part of the creation of God has independent free moral agency. Think on that. And there's a great purpose in that. All right? So then he says, because of this, we shouldn't think of God in the terms of idols or statues or pictures or whatever. Now, what does it mean to worship God? In the Greek, it means to bow down, or bow by being on both knees, or prostrate. means the same thing in the Hebrew, to worship God. Now let's come to John, the fourth chapter, and let's read a very interesting part of John, the fourth chapter, because this tells us some very important things we need to know and need to understand about how to worship God. When we come to God, we don't come to God because we're good, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't come to God because we have special minds that are, how shall we say, so good that God is just kind of, well, you're there. No. We come to God also. Now, the patriarch Job had to learn this. After all the trial he went through, he said that no thought can be withheld from God. Now think on this. He knows every hair on your head. He even knows when a sparrow falls. So God is not way out there someplace. He's as I've said many times, God is as close to you as your knees are to the ground. All right? Now, in John, the fourth chapter, John writes that as Jesus and the disciples were going back to Galilee, that he stopped by the well in Samaria, and a woman came to draw some water, and Jesus was speaking with her, and he told her that she had five husbands, and that the one she was with now was not her husband. Now, doesn't that tell you an awful lot about what God knows? He never saw the woman before. She came to the well. He was sitting there just waiting for the disciples to get something to eat. The woman said to him, verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that the place where it is obligatory to worship is Jerusalem." And at that time, as long as the temple stood, that was true. Now, a little historical background here. The Samaritans had a religion similar, with a similar temple, but it was not authorized by God. So even though they worshiped at that mountain, they weren't worshiping the true God. And they really didn't know what they were worshiping. Well, let's read on. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Because now, with preaching the gospel, people can worship God in their own homes. They don't have to go to a temple because, as we will see, when they pray to God in heaven above, that's the temple of God in heaven." Now let's continue here. Notice what he said, verse 22. "You do not know what you worship." Now that's quite a statement. That ties in with Acts, the 8th chapter, about Simon Magus, who gave himself out as some great one, saying that he was the power of God. And actually, it was a pagan religion, and they were worshiping Satan the devil. Now think about it. If you don't worship the true God in the way God wants you to, who are you worshiping? Is it a counterfeit Christ? Is it a counterfeit Father? Is it directly Satan the devil? Well, let's see what Jesus said. Come down here to verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is indeed seeking those who worship him in this manner. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now let's go back and analyze these verses here a little bit. This tells us an awful lot. True worshipers. This tells us there are false worshipers. Who is a true worshiper? One who believes God, prays to God, keeps his commandments, one who trusts God. And when you get to the New Testament with baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit of God, they are the true worshipers of the true God, having the Spirit of truth within them. Now, people in the world can give reverence to God in the letter of the law, but in order to worship God in spirit and in truth, that is a whole another aspect of worshiping God. Okay? What do you mean in spirit and truth? Spirit, as I mentioned, means with the Spirit of God in you. Also means the right attitude. And in truth. Now think about this. Our carnal minds are deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. And God, in converting us, is changing and transforming our minds from that condition to the condition of truth and love and faith and belief and hope and obedience. Okay? So that's what it means, true worshipers, and in spirit and in truth. Now notice this. For the Father is indeed seeking those who worship him in this manner. Now, God has seven spirits that are before his throne. And you read this in Revelation, the fifth chapter. And these are the eyes of God sent forth into all the world. And they give God the information that he needs, what's happening on the earth. Remember, God created the heavens and the earth and all the things that are in it. And when we worship him, because he is creator. We worship him because he is our true Father. Now, this is what is important. And worshiping God begins with prayer. Now, we've got a whole booklet on keys to answered prayer. You can download it, you can write in for it, and this will help you because this is the first step. When people first know they need God, because of the circumstances and troubles that they are in, one of the first things they do, they cry out and say, God, help me. Now, God has angels to help you. God has angels to protect you. God can help you in anything that you are doing. Now, let's come back here to Matthew, the sixth chapter. And let's see about prayer. Now, God does not want you to be religious. God wants you converted. Religion is a substitute for the truth of God. Now, it may contain some truth of God, but it always ends up with the traditions of men, which Jesus said, when you do that, then you reject the commandment of God and you worship him in vain. So those would be the false worshipers of God. We want to be the true worshipers of God. Okay? Now, chapter 6 tells us that when we pray, God doesn't want people out there praying in public long prayers. God wants it from the heart, with love and truth, and with subsequent obedience. So let's pick it up here in verse 6. But you, when you pray, enter into a private room, and after shutting the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. You get on your knees and have a Bible handy. You can use some of the Psalms to help you in praying, to help you find the words, because the first thing you're going to do is say, what do I say? Well, Jesus tells us here in a minute, how do I worship God? Okay? And it begins with prayer. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now, it also then, to worship God, requires faith. Faith in God, that He exists. Faith that He is there to hear. Faith that He will answer. Believing His word so that you want to live His way. All of that is involved. Now, verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And those are just continual chants, continual chants, continual chants. Now, there are some things that we'll see a little later, and you'll find in the booklet here, that there are needs every day. There are things we continue to pray for until God gives the answer, which then is not a vain repetition. Jesus did not say, don't repeat. He said, don't have vain repetitions. For they think that by the multiplying of their words thou shalt be heard. Now then, do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Therefore you are to pray after this manner. Now, as you will find in the booklet, the keys to answered prayer. This is a model prayer. Now, I want you to understand something very profound and important. Notice how he starts out this model prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, your true Father in heaven above. Now, let's come back here to John the 16th chapter. Let's see what Jesus told the disciples to do in praying. Verse 23, John 16. And in that day, that is, the day after his resurrection, you shall ask me nothing. A lot of people pray to Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, a little sidebar over here. Jesus came to reveal the Father who's greater than the Son. And God wants you to pray directly to Him, the Father. That's why prayer is the beginning step in worshiping God. And you do it on your knees. Truly, truly, I tell you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, yes, it is to all of our prayers and in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. He will give you. Until this day you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. That's something we need to really know and understand. Think of this. Now, I don't know what troubles you have. I don't know how difficult your life has been, but today we live in a world that most people live with a lot of troubles and difficulties and problems. Now, I want you to understand this. God loves you. However, the love is not unconditional. You must love him in return, and you must worship him. And as we will see, every day. Now notice what else Jesus said. Verse 26. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will beseech the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. I want you to read that. I want you to put your name there. The Father, the great sovereign of the universe, loves you. Are you going to return that love? Like we read, in him we live and move and have our being. Everything about you is a miracle. Everything about your very existence comes from God. So think about that. Let's go forward here. For the Father himself loves you, and have believed that I came forth from God. We've got to believe in Jesus Christ. We've got to believe that he is the Son of God. We've got to believe that he was God before he became the only begotten Son. And the whole understanding of why he came and why he died and the way he died is all told in the Bible. And you need the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, so you can understand God's love is so profound and so good and so righteous that the one who became Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, because there are two who are God, not three, not one, two. That's what the Bible reveals. Okay. God, manifested in the flesh, died for your sins and the sins of the whole world. And his blood is the propitiation, or therefore the continual forgiveness and atoning of our sins when we repent. Now, we have other segments on repentance. We have other segments on seeking God. So go to those and go through those segments, okay? Let's come back here to Matthew, the 6th chapter. So when we pray, our Father who is in heaven, we are praying to the mightiest power in the universe. Something. That's why we worship him. That's why we bow our knees. That's why we worship him in spirit and in truth. And remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus Christ himself. So both are involved in your worship of God. Now then, I've mentioned the booklet, Keys to Answered Prayer. If you're still having trouble believing that God exists, we have God or No God. And when you come to understand it, every single thing that we can see and all the things that we cannot see, but God knows and can see, has the stamp and number of God on it. Whether it is a grain of sand, leaf from a tree, snowflake from the sky, a drop of rain, a drop of water, it all has the signature of God. Now, if you've been involved in religions in this world and Christian religion, I just got an email just the other day. A person said, I'm tired of going to churches where I can't find the truth. Well, you'll find the truth of God, right here on Church at Home and our website, thetruthofgod.org. Now, you need to understand why Christianity is failing today. And it is. And men are trying to amalgamate it into one world religion. That is all in defiance of God and a return to the Tower of Babel. Now, to worship God in spirit and truth is the most important thing that you can do in your life every day. So we'll continue next time right here in Matthew, the 6th chapter. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone, and thank you for inviting me into your home.